In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Bernard Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Anne and Saint Joachim,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. So I'd like to give some practical points in helping us to improve our prayer life and what I'm going to say it is something that's so obvious to probably most of you, but sometimes we're not aware of it. And it's this, that an 8-day retreat is, the last retreat I gave was a marriage retreat, but the retreat was just 3 hours. No? This is 8 days, okay? So my marriage retreat was a sprint. Okay, it was 100 meters. So this is a marathon. Having run cross country when I was younger, I know a little bit about running. Marathon, you can't gun it. Rather, you got to pace yourself. I don't know if any of you know anything about marathons. Remember the invitationals we'd have in New Jersey? You'd have 400 runners running in a certain place. And then when they ran it, after about a quarter of a mile, there were about 4 or 5 of them that he conked out. Because they started out by sprinting, they ran out of gas, and they still had another 2 miles to go. So it's important we know how to pace ourselves. That's what Saint Ignatius says, that these are spiritual exercises. And I'm not promoting or condoning laziness. I'm not saying that at all. But trying to get a good night's rest is very important. Very important. And that, I think, on a physical plane is maybe the most important thing on a physical plane, that you try to get enough rest. And listening somewhat to Fulton Sheen, I'm not so much a person that takes siestas, but maybe you are. Maybe you take a 20-minute, half-hour. There's nothing wrong with that. If that can help you in your prayer life, that otherwise you do your meditation right after lunch, and this is your meditation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Called the yo-yo approach, right? Better to rest a little bit than to be refreshed and mentally alert than to be groggy, drowsy, yawning, and falling asleep during your holy hour. No? And Fulton Sheen said, never start your holy hour without your first cup of coffee. Amen. I like that. Then also get exercise. Yesterday I walked an hour, okay, and I was praying my rosaries. After I finished directing my last person, I get out, then I walked an hour, and that I felt better afterward. So maybe talk it out with your spiritual director, how you're going to plan this retreat. Then I think also that you already, if you haven't done already, have the set hours that you're going to be praying. Not simply, as they say in Mexican Spanish, voy a rezar cuando me nace, padre. If you know Spanish, that's a good one-liner. I will pray cuando me nace, when I, how do you translate in English? When I feel like it, right? No, have those set periods. Set periods. Then warm up to it by the preparatory steps that I mentioned. Now you talk it out with your director. I feel you, it's good to give an hour. Or I gave an hour and a half this morning and that was maybe not enough. Give abundant time. Because sometimes it takes a while to kick into gear, to go from the active life to the contemplative life. It takes a while to allow the spirit to start to flow. Everything I'm saying right now is geared to trying to help you to pray well. Sound mind is sound body, sound soul is the writers tell us. Okay, what I'm going to give you today is keeping with the theme of sin, and there's always find there's so much to be said on biblical passages that I like to glean few ideas. So, in organizing this retreat, I thought I would give you Genesis chapter 39, which would be the temptations of Joseph. I find this to be a fascinating, fascinating passage. Genesis chapter 39. You could actually spend the whole day just on that. You know how many, you've got chapter 37 to 50, Genesis, which is Joseph, you got a good 13, 14 chapters. Of all the biblical figures of the Old Testament, I love Joseph of the Old Testament. If there's ever a Christ figure in the Old Testament, Joseph would be the one. Moses too. And if you look at the other biblical figures, obviously Abraham and the patriarchs and Moses and David, those are the key figures. But as we say in Greek literature, they all had a fatal flaw. Okay? They did. They all had a fatal flaw. I mean, Abraham lied. Moses, face it, he was a murderer. You can't deny it. David was an adulterer and a murderer. These are the three, among the three greatest figures in the Old Testament. You point out to me a moral flaw of Joseph in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can't find it. And he is also a figure of St. Joseph in many ways. That'd be a good book to write, you know, the parallel between Joseph in the Old Testament and the Joseph of the New Testament. There's a lot of parallel there. So let's visit today Joseph related to sin, but related how to avoid sin. That's where we're heading. The beauty of the exercise is we can give you tons of biblical passages, but you arrive at the same grace. tons of biblical passages. So try to rewind the film of this wonderful personality of the Old Testament. One of 12 children. His father has a special love for him. His father is going to buy him a special cloak. Joseph also, he's a dreamer, he's a mystic, like Saint Joseph of the New Testament. And he's going to tell his brothers that he's going to see this vision. And you've got these sheaves, and there's one higher, and the sheaves are going to be bowing down to him, and he's the principal sheaf. So what's happening among these brothers is there's a real distaste for Joseph. They're really starting to dislike him. And this dislike turns into a real anger. And then a bitterness. Then a resentment. Then let's say the word, a hatred. So Joseph is going out in the field pursuing his brothers, and they've got a plot. They want to get rid of him. Some of them want to kill him. Others do not want that to happen. Reuben doesn't want him to be killed. So they grab hold of him, and you know the story. They throw him in a well. And eventually he's going to be sold into the kingdom of the Egyptians. And the passage that you're going to be meditating upon is that the Pharaoh really admires Joseph. He's honest, he's handsome, he's a hard worker, he's humble. But then you got this Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was a man high rank in the Egyptian kingdom. She's there. She's looking at this guy. She said, this guy's a good-looking guy, man. He's a good-looking guy. And she starts to look at him, and she lusts for him. Then she goes after him. And Joseph, every time he sees this, he flees from her presence. And then, what happens? She tries to seduce him. He flees. He leaves his cloak there. And then she frames him. She calumniates him. He ends up being thrown in prison for a long time. Eventually he'll be released because he interprets the dreams of the Pharaoh. And then he's given the second most important position in the world. Only after Pharaoh. During a famine. And his father sends his brothers to get grain. And Joseph, instead of nailing them, he says, look, God allowed this to happen, so that greater good can come out of this. What a beautiful figure. I mean, for me, it brings tears to my eyes, this figure of Joseph. Well, what I like to do is this, and this is basically the sin of the modern world, and it's the whole temptation to capitulate to lust. So I want to talk about that. Give me about 15 minutes. On how to conquer the devil of lust. And Joseph did it. Joseph did it. He could have given in to this woman. And it could have been done on the sly. But no. Joseph was not going to, he was not going to offend God. Even if he'd be thrown in jail for years, he was in jail for years. So what I'm saying is this. You can say no to sin and fight it directly. But better to say yes to the love of God. Your legalistic no to sin is going to get you only so far. But your yes to the love of God is going to move the mountains. How about that? Move the transmitter too, huh? Okay, so let's talk about that topic. Talk about that topic. My friends, until we die, our life is a spiritual battle. Eventually, we're going to be meditating upon the two standards. Until we die, our life is a battleground. I'd like to quote two French saints, Saint Francis de Sales and Saint Louis de Montfort. You've probably heard of them. Saint Francis de Sales says, "Our selfishness dies 15 minutes after we're dead." Francis de Sales. Of course, that's hyperbole, but I think you get the drift. The last words of Saint Louis de Montfort. Merci beaucoup, je ne peux pécher plus. Parlez-vous français un petit peu? Merci beaucoup, je ne peux pécher plus. If you know French, it's very poetic. Translation, thanks be to God, I can sin no more. Saint Louis de Montfort. St. Louis de Montfort. So I'm trying to set the scene that in our lives, our spiritual life, like that of Joseph. Joseph had a fight. He had a fight against this lustful tendency, against this malicious woman. He had a fight. And it wasn't a passive resistance. It was a strong resistance on his part. We give in to sin because we don't fight enough. We're spiritual soldiers. We got to fight the good fight, run the good race, as Paul says. Aware that the merited crown will be ours one day. Okay, now in the course of these exercises, in my talks, I'm going to be referring to the rules for discernment. Okay? I'll be referring to the 14 rules. The 14th rule of the first week, I call it the kryptonite rule. The kryptonite rule. What is the kryptonite rule? It's our weak point. We all have to know our kryptonite. We have to have self-knowledge. One thing I love about baseball is that I really admire good pitchers. Because the pitchers, they'll watch videos, maybe thousands of videos looking at batters. And they'll see where the batter can't hit. Not to toot my horn, but I pitched a no-hitter when I was 14. You know why? Because I played Pony League Baseball and I knew that they could not hit a curve, and I was throwing that curve and I was whipping them right and left. It was KKK, not the Ku Klux Klan, but it was... I was striking because I knew that they couldn't hit a curveball, and I had perfected the curveball. I didn't know this rule for discernment, but I was applying it in baseball when I was 14. Yes? So, knowing our weak point. Next is, when we are in desolation, when you find yourself in a state of desolation, that's when the devil goes after your kryptonite. Right? You hear? All of you know that. You know that by now. When you're in desolation, that's when the devil cannot read your mind, but he can read your face. And he can pick up when you're in a sad state. And then using a term of Father Tim Gallagher, we find ourselves in the state of the universal negatives. I like that phrase, the universal negative. Everything seems to be bleak. You're like in a Charles Dickens novel of the foggy London sky. Huh? Everything seems to be foggy. You can't see beyond the mist. Next point is this. To conquer our own devils and the devil of lust, as Joseph did, we have to pray. But not a half-hearted, anemic, mediocre prayer. We gotta pray with fervor. With fervor. With fire. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door is open to him. Matthew chapter 7:7. So we should beg for the grace. My friends, if we want to carry out great things for God, we have to strive to conquer our lustfulness and attain purity. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. If we're giving into our lustful passions, we're not going to be able to do much for God. And I could just cite saint after saint after saint after saint where we see these battles. Maybe the most famous would be Thomas Aquinas. Have you ever read the life of Thomas Aquinas? Okay. You ever read the life of Anthony Mary Claret? Maybe read the life of Maria Goretti. You know about Maria Goretti, right? Or Saint Benedict or Saint Francis. They all have these battles. Saint Anthony of the Desert, written by Saint Athanasius. Here comes my literary background. Now, all these classics, we see these saints, they have to battle to conquer their enemy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says it's a daily self-mastery. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, can't go beyond that, except the Bible. A daily self-mastery. Then, here's the big challenge in the modern world. We have to beg for the grace to control our eyes, and we have to pray for the grace to discipline ourselves in the use of modern electronic media. Most of you are professionals, and so are we. Okay? The internet is a two-edged sword. I've got tons of programs. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. I've got all those things. Right now I'm recording this talk, podcast. I've got it all. If it's used well, we can save a lot of souls. And John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, Fulton Sheen that we're listening to, how many souls Fulton Sheen touched? And he died in 1979. And you know, the Pope wrote him a letter saying, you touched millions of souls. However, if not used properly, it could be our own condemnation. So constantly we have to be vigilant over the use of the electronics media. Constantly. And most of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. Right? You know, you're dealing with your children, grandchildren. You have it, your work cut out for you in helping them to utilize these means. To use it and not to abuse it. Principle and foundation, right? Law of tantum quantum. Use it and not to abuse it. All right. Now, when you're being tempted, name it, claim it, and tame it. Amen? Yeah. Name it, claim it, and tame it. It's a three-word acronym, okay? Name it, you know, Father Groeschel once said, say to yourself, I'm being tempted. Name it. Right now I'm being tempted. Okay? Not to say, for example, during the talk right now, you get up, I'm being tempted now, and I'm done. But interiorly, I'm being tempted. Then you have to claim it, and you get to tame it by using the ascetical means that God offers to us. All right. Look at Joseph. What did Joseph do? Okay, Joseph was keenly aware of his relationship with God. Joseph was a mystic. He was aware of God's presence. And Joseph loved God very much. And it wasn't a wavering love, an irresolute love, an inconstant love, a sporadic love. By fits and so it was a strong love, and we got to pray for that. We got to be anchored on our love for God, not being built on sand, but a strong rock foundation where I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I'm not going to do anything to hurt God. Punto basta. Okay? So he loved God, and he was aware of God's presence, and he's aware of what could damage his relationship with God. Now, what does he do? He's aware of the temptation. He doesn't say, well, this is a pretty good-looking babe. No, he doesn't do that, no? Yeah, she's pretty attractive. No, he doesn't... That's the devil. That's the devil. No second thoughts. This is wrong. It's adultery. I'm going to offend God. I'm not going to give into it. And what does he do? He flees. If you've ever studied Father Jordan Allman in mystical theology, that was my fourth year at the Angelicum, one thing we learn is this. There are two temptations that you don't confront head on. What are they? Temptations against chastity and faith. Never forget that. Others you can battle head on. But temptations against chastity and faith, they're so overweening and powerful that you're not going to overcome it. So what do? Flee! You're not a coward. Flee. Flee. Run from it. You try to confront temptation against chastity, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it bowls you over. Therefore, this Joseph figure is a wonderful treatise on mystical theology. Avoid the near occasion of sin. He didn't confront. He was not looking for this woman. She was going after him. But as soon as he's away, he runs. And I think that that's part of our problem. We're tempted and we don't reject it right away. We toy with that temptation. You see, we've got to be soldiers for Christ. You know, a soldier waits too long, he can be defeated by waiting too long. By waiting too long, by putting it off. Now, another rule for discernment. Whatever temptation it might be, when the temptation becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. This is St. Ignatius, and there's some wonderful numbers in the diary of St. Faustina. You open up your heart and you reveal that to your confessor. We don't want to do that at times because it's embarrassing. And that's our pride, okay? It's embarrassing, it's a pride. I don't want to reveal that, no? But what happens is, the devil turns the molehill into the mountain. He does. He blows things out of proportion. Like a helium balloon. You ever get the balloons, you know, they get bigger and bigger, and finally they're popped, huh? Is the devil blows things out of proportion. But once it's articulated in a clear, simple, transparent way, that knocks the wind out of the sails of the devil. It does. It knocks the wind out of his sails. It weakens him. Devil wants us to keep our temptations top secret. Top secret. Ignatian spirituality, reveal it. Throw it out. And it demands humility and transparency. Then I'd like to reiterate what I said earlier. Primary reason why we fall into sin is either we don't pray or our prayer is very anemic. Either we don't pray or our prayer is very weak. Kind of like St. Augustine, Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. That type of prayer, okay? It's not going to get you anywhere, huh? All right. And in the life of one of my favorite saints, Saint Anthony Mary Claret, you can one day read his life, it'll blow you away. A lot of my apostolic initiatives, I try to imitate him. I don't do it as well as him, but I try to imitate a lot of things that he did when he was a preacher, a missionary. When he was about 20 years old, he was sick, confined to bed, and all the devils went after him. And he was one of those young men, kind of like the little flower in Dominic Savio, very innocent life. He probably never committed any serious sin in his life, but all hell broke loose. And I say, all hell broke loose. And he was confined to bed because he's just sick. Temptations against chastity. And read his life. It's a very telling page. He prays. Who does he pray to? He prays to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But then the temptation seems to get worse. What? I'm praying to Mary, the temptation is getting worse? He prays again. And he prays fervently to the blood. Why did it get worse? Because Mary wanted him to pray more to her. That's the reason. Mary wanted not just one Hail Mary, she wanted more prayers. And then all of a sudden, he had a vision. At the foot of his bed, he could see a whole army of devils that were going after him. Then he saw the Blessed Virgin Mary came and terrified the devils left him, and he's given the gift of perfect chastity. Love that story. Love that story. I think all the saints have that experience in one way or another. And you will too. It may not be chastity, it might be something else. But my friends, we all have these battles, these devils that we have to fight with. So I've given you a little mystical, ascetical treatise on how to fight the good fight and win the race. And you know this, you've probably never done this before, but you can. You can have a triple colloquy. You can talk to Jesus and Mary, and you can talk to Joseph, Saint Joseph, but you can talk to the Joseph of the Old Testament. Did you know that? He's an Old Testament saint. You can pray to him. You can pray to David. You can pray to Moses. Very few Catholics know that these Old Testament, they're saints, and they can help us to get to heaven. So let's pray for the grace to really plumb the depths of this wonderful biblical passage. Joseph conquered because he loved God. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Amen. God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.